السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Welcome to another lesson of Quranic progression, and inshallah ta'ala, today we continue from verse 15 of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. In the last lesson that we had last week, we covered verse 14 of this surah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the way that people's disbelief and their sins covers their hearts, the way that it acts like a barrier over the heart, that then doesn't allow a person to accept guidance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned dharan, right? And dharan is that covering, the ghishawa, the covering of the heart. And as the scholars of the Salaf and the Tabi'een said, that it is something which is taken from sins, right? Sin upon sin. And obviously there is the complete sealing of the heart, which is done as a result of disbelief. But then there is the gradual covering of the heart, which is done through sin. And that also applies to the Muslims, not only the non-Muslims. And that is the hadith that we mentioned last week, a couple of narrations that we mentioned of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu an, and others. And then we went through some of the statements of some of the scholars concerning how that happens, and what are the main causes, and what are the different levels, and how to overcome that, such as the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in which he mentioned that the two main causes for that covering of the heart is, number one, heedlessness, and number two, sin. Heedlessness and sin, al-ghafla wa dhanb. And he said that the way to overcome that would be then through dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, the remembrance of Allah in all of its forms. So not just the verbal dhikr that we're accustomed to, but dhikr, remembrance of Allah, anything that reminds you of Allah, makes you worship Allah, and istighfar. So for the sins, you have istighfar. For the heedlessness, you have remembrance. So we went through and over that in some detail last week. And in today's lesson, we continue from verse number 15. And that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 15, the translation of Mustafa Khattab, undoubtedly they will be sealed off from their Lord on that day. And Sahih International, no, indeed, from their Lord that day they will be partitioned. And Mufti Taqi, no, indeed, they will be screened off from their Lord on that day. Professor Abdul Harim, no, indeed, on that day they will be screened off from their Lord. And Muhsin Khan, nay, surely they, the evildoers, will be veiled from seeing their Lord that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse 15, he says kalla, and similar to that which he said subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous verse, Allah azza wa jalla is once again refuting or rejecting an assertion of those disbelievers, and that is that they, as we know, denied yawm al-qiyamah, as Allah azza wa jalla mentions from the very beginning of this surah, that they are people who deny yawm al-qiyamah, deny the day of resurrection, deny the standing before their Lord. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now responding to these assertions of this, and how and this is obviously occurred in a number of ways in this surah. So Allah azza wa jal, this is now I think the third time that Allah azza wa jal is going to use the word kalla, and it is a word that is repeated over and over again. So if you look at this surah from the beginning to the end, you'll have noticed by now, and it will continue for more of the surah, that Allah Azza wa Jal says kalla. So this is, I think, the third time. Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari. Kalla barrana ala qulubihim. Kalla innahum ar rabbihim. And it will continue into the next few verses also. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is saying kalla, 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 which means no indeed or nay. It is, as we said, to reject an assertion of theirs or a belief of theirs, and to establish or substantiate something that they do not accept, that they do not believe in, that they are not willing to recognize. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now for the third time saying kalla. So after Allah azza wa jalla spoke about their disbelief in yawm al-qiyamah, and how they don't think that they will stand before Allah to be held to account, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Kalla. And he rejected that assertion, and he said, rather their record will be in a sijjin. Right? And we went through those verses. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, a second time, as we mentioned last week in verse 14, said, Kalla. Again, no indeed, again rejecting that assertion of theirs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it is because of their sins, their evil, that their hearts have become covered and their hearts have become sealed to that guidance, to understanding and receiving that guidance, which would then allow them to be able to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then now this is the third time that Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning this in verse number 15, Kalla. Again, Allah Azza wa Jalla is rejecting their assertion for a third time. No, indeed. إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla is now going to speak about some of the punishments that they will receive on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Some of the things that they will be subjected to on the Day of Judgment. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. They will be screened or partitioned off from their day. From their Lord on that day. The word hijab, as we know, is a word that speaks about a veil or a barrier or some type of a screening and partition. And that is why the woman's outer dress is called the hijab, because it covers, you know, it covers the woman's inner garments from the public. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, he speaks about the hijab, which can also mean a curtain or some type of a covering and partition. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Hazab concerning the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. Allah says that if you need to speak to them, to address the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you should do so from behind a veil. There should be a veil between you and them. And that is why, as we know, as is in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the revelation of this verse, that is when he placed the veil between me and him, meaning between me and his family. Because before that, the companions, especially people like Anas, would enter into the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his homes. And as we know, they were, the homes, meaning a single room, right? The homes were not like our houses where we have multiple rooms and places for guests and bedrooms. It was literally a single room. And so people like him would enter very frequently upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put the hijab down. And that is why even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the scholars from amongst the tabi'een and others would come to speak to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to ask them questions, to learn from them, to hear the narrations of hadith, such as with our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, they would sit behind a veil, or she would be behind a curtain, right? There would be a curtain or something separating the two. So that is the veil. And we know also from what is established authentically from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal also has a hijab, a veil that no one can see beyond hijabuhu nur, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, hijab is light. And that is the meaning of, according to a number of the scholars of the Salaf, the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was asked, did you see your Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah? And he said, nurun anna arah. It was light, how could I possibly see him? So hijabuhu nur, the veil of Allah Azza wa Jal is all light. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if he was to remove only a part of it, لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبُحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْ تَهَى إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. That if he was to remove even a part of that veil, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the rays and the radiance of our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, would overcome everything of his creation. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is a nur. He is all light, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his hijab is nur. So Allah Azza wa Jal has a hijab. So the word hijab means a veil, a cover, a partition, a screening. So Allah Azza wa Jal is now speaking about a punishment, because Allah Azza wa Jal in these verses is not speaking about it in the praiseworthy way, in the way that we've just mentioned in those verses that describe our Lord, or in the etiquettes that the Muslims should have, or in some of the dress code that the women should have. Allah Azza wa Jal is now speaking about it in a way that is humiliating upon the disbelievers. It is a form of punishment. It is a form of tawbiq. They are being demeaned and belittled through this. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, Kalla innahum ar rabbihim yawma'idhin lamahjubun. On that day, and all from all of the different things, and we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla has many different punishments, many different terrors that will be for the people of the fire on that day, for the disbelievers on Yawm al-Qiyamah, many of them, as we know throughout the Quran, throughout the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But here Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning this one in particular, and it shows that it is something which is going to greatly grieve the people of kufr and disbelief, that they won't have this particular blessing, that they will be distanced and removed from it. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla will screen them from Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So screen them from what exactly? Some of the scholars of tafsir, they said that what it means is that Allah Azza wa Jal will screen them from His mercy, from His grace, from His kindness. And no doubt that is from the screening that will take place, that Allah Azza wa Jal will distance them from His mercy, distance them from his kindness, from His forgiveness, and what have you. And that Allah Azza wa Jal will look towards them. As Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala said, it means أَلَّا يَنْظُرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. He said, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, that there are certain people that Allah won't look towards, He won't purify, and for them will be a painful torment. And as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions elsewhere in the Quran, that there are certain people that Allah Azza wa Jal will not speak to, will not look towards, will not purify, and for them is the painful punishment. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that in the context of the disbelievers and the mushrikeen. But we also know that there are other people from amongst the disbelievers that Allah will speak to, that Allah will have conversations with, as Allah Azza wa Jal Himself mentions in the Quran, as is mentioned in the Sunnah. And as we said, that one of the best ways to reconcile these differences in verses is, as the teacher of our teacher, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned in his amazing book, Daf'u Iham Al-Ittirab, where he speaks about these verses that seem to from an outwardly perspective, they seem to have some type of conflict in them, how to reconcile between them. He says that there will be maqamat, there will be different stations on Yawm al-Qiyamah for different people. So for some of those people from disbelief, Allah won't look towards them, Allah won't speak to them, and He won't purify them, and they will have that painful torment. But for other groups, Allah Azza wa Jalla will speak to them. So it's not one rule, one principle for everyone. But Allah Azza wa Jal may address certain people at certain times in certain ways and others not so. So anyway, this is one position. And similar to it is the statement of Ibn Abi Mulayka. Ibn Abi Mulayka rahimahullah ta'ala also said that it is Allah Azza wa Jal who will take from the people that which they hoped for. He will remove from them all hope on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And so they will have no hope. And remember that that is perhaps, you know, one of the worst things, like one of the most difficult or one of the worst punishments that a person can suffer is the loss of all hope. Because when there is hope, there is always something to work towards, something to look forward to, something. And so, you know, if you ever hear stories of people, for example, who have been, in extreme cases of punishment and so on, and torture and imprisonment, they will often say losing hope was the worst thing, right? Or it's the most difficult thing in confinement, in prison, in some type of difficult situation. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep us all safe. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, according to some of the scholars of the Tabi'een, this is what the meaning of this verse is, that Allah will remove from them hope. And if there is no hope, then what possibly is there for them to even look towards? There's no semblance of any type of positivity left because there is no hope. So long as there is hope, and that is, as we mentioned last week or the week before, maybe a couple of weeks back now, I think we mentioned it here anyway, if I don't remember correctly, or maybe it was in the Isnad class that we did, that the scholars mentioned the differences between the fire of the disbelievers and the fire of the sinful Muslims. That there are two different, like that it is the fire, but there are two different levels to it in that sense, general categories, if you like, or general intensities. And so the way that the people of disbelief, the people that will have the fire for eternity, will go in, that's a permanent way. I think we mentioned this in our last Isnad course when we did an Aqidah text, the book of As-Sabuni, rahimahullah ta'ala. But there is a difference between the way that the disbelievers enter into the fire, the way that they're punished in the fire, and the way that they lose all hope in the fire, as opposed to the believers who enter into the fire because of some sins that they commit. So the disbelievers are entered into the fire, as we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, it's mentioned in a number of hadith in the Sunnah, that they will be chained, they will be dragged on their faces, they will be thrown headfirst into the fire. We mentioned this When we did the tafsir of Surah Al-Qari'ah, when Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ, we said that some of the scholars said that here means the forehead, right? That they will be thrown head in first and they will go into its depths in that way. Whereas the believers, those from amongst the Muslims that Allah decrees will go into the fire, will walk into the fire, just like as a criminal walks into prison, as opposed to being humiliated further. And then in the fire, there's a difference between the punishments. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the punishment of the people of disbelief, and He says that they will be consumed by the fire. As we know, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. Every time their skins melt away, we will replace them with new skin that they may continue to taste the torment and the punishment. And we know that the fire will consume them, and then Allah will restore them and it will consume them and so on. But we know that for the Muslims that are in the fire, there are certain parts of their bodies that the fire won't touch, such as the, according to some ahadith or some positions amongst the scholars, such as the limbs of wudu, and according to other narrations, such as the marks of prostration. Because when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the hadith that the people will come and look in the fire and they will extract their brothers, or they will intercede for their brothers, that Allah would allow them to leave the fire, then the Prophet ﷺ was asked, and how will we know them, O Messenger of Allah? He said, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it haram, has prohibited the fire from consuming the markings of prostration. And that goes into that very interesting discussion of the importance of salah, if for nothing else. Those scholars of the Salaf and some of the Madahib, as we know, who held the position that anyone that abandons the Salah, leaves the Salah, exits the fold of Islam. And we're not going to go into that discussion, and it's a well-known issue in fiqh and a well-known debate among scholars concerning that issue. But just to point out the importance of the Salah, like, that's the way that the believers are recognized. So what about that person who didn't pray, never prayed a single prayer in their life, or prayed only the odd prayer? Like, does that person have a mark of prostration that would be recognized? Allah knows best. And so the importance of the salah in so many different ways, in so many different arenas and areas of our religion, not only in terms of the dunya, but more importantly, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, how will they be recognized? He said, Allah has made it haram for the fire to consume the marks of prostration. And the marks of prostration are, you know, the ones that you find on the forehead, the ones that you will find on the knees, possibly, the ones that you'll find on the hands. These are the marks of prostration. And so these are the places that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it haram for the fire to consume. So what about the person who didn't pray? And so that's like, you know, one of the evidences that was used by those scholars, that much of the Sharia speaks about salah in this way. And that's why they were of that position. They were so strict on it. And even if you don't agree with that position of fiqh, but it just shows the gravity of the issue of salah, its seriousness, and how it's never something that should be trivialized, or never something which should be neglected, or never something which should be made to be insignificant. And that is a big issue that as Muslims we face, and especially for our youngsters and our children, they face salah. It's the most difficult thing, because each and every single day, five times a day, without fail, for no excuse can you miss that salah, delay that salah until the time leaves and so on, except in very, very limited circumstances, as we know. And so without that valid excuse and that valid circumstance, the salah is there, and it's always something that we should be diligent concerning, because of all of these different hadith and all of these different narrations to speak about its importance. So the point here that we were speaking about is the issue of hope, and how those people, just as they will have differences in terms of punishment than in the fire also, because the fire doesn't consume them, the other difference is also the one of hope. The people of the fire, in the fire, have no hope. When they will say, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكَ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ, O Malik, tell your Lord to just do away with us, to destroy us. قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ, He will say, you will remain therein forever. Allah Azza wa Jalla, when they will call upon Him, He will say, اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون, remain therein forever quietly, never to speak again, meaning never will your voice be heard again. So if the angels turn away, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says that I will never listen to you again, and now the angels also turn away, who else is left? And the believers turn away, Who is left for them? What hope is left for them? As opposed to the Muslims in the fire, for they will never lose that hope because of the Tawheed that they had. And because of that Tawheed, as we know, eventually they will come out of the fire by Allah's permission. So that is one position according to the scholars, or some of the scholars of Tafsir, or one statement. It's not really a position because there is no contradiction between the two positions, but it is one, if you like, category of statements that is found concerning the Tafsir of this verse, and that speaks about Allah Azza wa Jal veiling or screening these people from His mercy, from His kindness, from His grace, from His forgiveness on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. The other one, or the other position that you will find in terms of statements, or the other category of statements rather, that you will find, and it is the one that is mentioned, for example, by Al-Hassan Al-Basri, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, is that they will be screened from seeing their Lord. So it is a physical thing. They will be screened from seeing their Lord, prevented from seeing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, as opposed to the believers who will see Him every day, morning and evening, as Al-Hassan Al-Basri, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, said. And so, as we know, and probably as we've mentioned before, but we will certainly mention as we come to certain surahs of the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the blessings and the rewards of the people of Jannah. And from the greatest blessings and rewards that they will have is that they will be able to see their Lord Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On the day that their faces will be radiant, looking to their Lord Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةٌ. For those who do good, they will have goodness and more. And according to many of the statements of the scholars of Tafsir, that more is to see their Lord on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And there are a number of ahadith that we will mention, or we will mention one or two anyway, concerning this, that the Prophet ﷺ also established this as a reward for the people of Jannah. And so therefore, if that is the greatest reward for the people of Jannah, then likewise being prevented from that is from the greatest of punishments and the greatest of miseries that will be cast upon the people of disbelief and the people of shirk. These two positions, some scholars consider them to be contradictory, or some sects consider them to be contradictory. And so they took the position, as we know, that Allah Azza wa Jal can't be seen. They denied the seeing of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And they denied that the believers will see their Lord on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And this is a well-known issue in Aqeedah. And for those of you that have followed our Isnad courses, in the number of Aqeedah texts that we have now done, Alhamdulillah, it's something which we've discussed extensively and in some detail concerning what is the correct Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But the point is that there were sects of Islam that disagreed, and they said that they can't see their Lord, right? They can't see their Lord. No one will see Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. No one. And that goes against the tafsir of this verse, and it goes against the tafsir of other verses in the Quran. And that's why Imam At-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that we have these two statements, or these two groups of statements that you have seen. Some of them said that he will be prevented from his karama, from his grace, from his bounty, from his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And others said they will be prevented from seeing their Lord on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And he says, and therefore the correct position is that it is both. That the one who can't see Allah Azza wa Jal has been prevented from his karama, from his kindness, from his grace, from his mercy. And the one who's been prevented from his mercy and his grace and his kindness has been prevented from, therefore, that which is greater than that, or one of the greatest forms of that mercy, and that is to see their Lord Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And so he says there's no contradiction between the two. As we've mentioned a number of times before in the methodologies of tafsir, that often the salaf, they used to give tafsir by way of example as opposed to exclusivity. It didn't mean that this was the only meaning or that this is the only interpretation, but it's an example of what is included in that verse in terms of meaning. And that's why, as we've mentioned now also numerous times before, that Imam At-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, his methodology is one of reconciliation. That you don't have to choose one. They are not positions that have to be chosen between. Rather, they are examples and statements of different elements of the same verse or the same meaning. And therefore, you can easily combine, reconcile, and gather them together. And that's why it is the position of Ahlul Sunnah that this verse is from the verses of establishing the seeing of the believers of their Lord on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, that they will see their Lord on يوم القيامة. As Ibn Atiyah and Al-Qurtubi, Ibn Kathir, many of the scholars of Tafsir mention alayhim rahmatullah. Ibn Atiyah, for example, or before that, Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, for example, said that Az-Zajjaj, the famous commentator on the Quran and also scholar of the Arabic language, he said that in this verse, there is a clear evidence that Allah Azza wa Jalla will be seen on the Day of Judgment. And were it not the case that Allah could be seen, then there would be no benefit in mentioning this verse, nor would it be any benefit in mentioning this verse in the context of how this is something which is a punishment upon the disbelievers. Meaning, what is the point of mentioning this verse if it's not even literal, that there's no literal element to it? We already know that the believers don't have the mercy of Allah, the disbelievers rather, sorry, don't have the mercy of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. They will go in the fire. That's already been mentioned even in this surah. كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla already mentioned that, right? And as we said, according to a number of the scholars of Tafsir, Sijjin is the fire, or it's the name of the fire, or it's something which is the bottom of the depths of the earth, and that is a form of punishment. And so therefore that's already been mentioned and already been stated by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So if it's not literal, then what is the benefit of just saying something again if it is not going to actually be something which is more of a grievous punishment than that which has already preceded within the surah? And similar to this is the statement of Ibn Atiyah rahimahullah ta'ala. He said that the people who establish or affirm the ru'ya of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah will be seen on the Day of Judgment, and they are the people of the Sunnah, he says, then they will say that this verse refers to the people of disbelief not being able to see their Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah. فَهُمْ مَحْجُوبُونَ عَنْ, and that they will be screened, these disbelievers, they will be screened from their Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And he said that this is the verse that was then chosen or used by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala when he said, or when he spoke about this issue of the believers seeing their Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he said, وَإِلَّا فَلَوْ حَجَبَ الرُّؤْيَةَ عَنِ الْكُلِّ لَمَا أَغْنَى هَذَا التَّخَصُّصِ. When Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ, that they are the ones that will be screened from their Lord. Imam Malik said, if everyone was going to be screened, no one can see Allah, then what's the point of just saying they? What's the they for? Because no one, how is it like a problem that they can't see Allah? No one can see Allah. So what is the point of mentioning it in that context, specifying only that group of people, instead of, you know, everyone not being able to see Allah Azza wa Jalla? And so therefore, Imam Malik says that even the wording of the verse, the way that it is structured, the wording that is used, shows that for other than these people, everyone else will see their Lord, and that is the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And similar to it, Ibn Atiyah also mentions the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, فَلَمَّا حَجَبَ قَوْمًا بِالسُّخْطِ دَلَّ عَلَى أَنَّ قَوْمًا يَرَوْنَهُ بِالرِّضَى. That when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that a group of people, because of Allah's anger upon them, they will be prevented from seeing Him, then it also shows in its inverse that those that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with will see Him. If Allah is displeased with some people and therefore they cannot see Him, then those with whom Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased, they will be able to see Him. And this is a famous issue, as we said, of Aqeedah. And I don't really want to go into the intricacies and details because this is the time and place. However, as I said, if you want to have more, more understanding of that, then you can, inshallah ta'ala, go back to my class that I did, our latest Isnad class, which we did the book of the Aqeedah of the People of Hadith by Al-Imam As-Sabuni rahimahullah ta'ala, and we discussed this issue amongst others in some detail. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala also mentioned the same thing after mentioning that statement of Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said that the people, and according to some scholars, the disbelievers won't see Allah at all on Yawm al-Qiyamah. They don't see Allah from the beginning to the end. They don't see Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah remains veiled from them. And according to some scholars, and in one of the wordings and narrations of Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala also, he says that at the beginning, the believers and disbelievers will see Him. But then Allah Azza wa Jalla will veil Himself from the disbelievers when they have been decreed, or when it will be decreed that they will go into the fire. And so therefore that punishment that is upon them will be in many ways multiplied upon them when they are prevented from seeing their Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is mentioned in a narration in Sahih Muslim, in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the companions one day asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, هَلْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, will we see our Lord on the Day of Judgment? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied and he said, هَلْ تُضَارُونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ الشَّمْسِ فِي الظَّهِيرَةِ لَيْسَتْ فِي سَحَابَةِ, do you have any difficulty in seeing the sun in the middle of the day on a cloudless day? So, and then he said, and so they replied, no. And then he asked, فَهَلْ تُضَارُونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ لَيْسَ فِي سَحَابَةِ, do you have any difficulty in seeing your Lord on a full moon night on which there is no cloud? So one of the things that Allah Azza wa Jal therefore, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rather, is telling us that the believers on Yawm Al-Qiyamah will be able to see Allah Azza wa Jal easily and clearly. What it means is that when you look up, wherever you are on the earth, however many people are doing it at the same time, if you were to look up into the sky, either during the day to see the sun or during the night to see the full moon and there's no clouds, how clear is it for you to see? And just because others are doing it, it doesn't impact your line of sight or your ability to see the sun or the moon, right? Because there's one thing that if something is in front of you and now you can't see, so for example, often like, you know, if you were to go, for example, to a masjid and there's a famous speaker there, or you go to a place where there's a famous personality and everyone's trying to get a glimpse, but he's on the same or she's on the same level as you. So what are people trying to do now? They're trying to get that glimpse, right? It's like when royalty or someone comes to a place, or a famous person comes to a place and they're walking, or they're in a car riding, but everyone's on the same level. And so people are now jostling, pushing one another, moving, trying to find different spaces just to get a glimpse. But if something is above you, then you don't need to jostle, you don't need to push with anyone, you don't need to look for space or gain advantage or space, because all you have to do is look up. And so there is no need to have to fight with anyone else. That is the meaning of these two questions that the Prophet asked sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning not only will you see your Lord, but you will see him clearly and easily without having to worry. Because if it was something which is, you know, I have to worry, will I be able to see Allah, but I have to push people and I have to get there and I have to be the first one and I have to get there early and whatever, that causes obviously a great deal of its own anxiety, its own pressure. And Allah Azza wa Jalla on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, for the believers, they don't have any of those anxieties, any of that pressure. And that's from the beauty of the reward of the Akhirah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the believers, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, they will have no fear, no grief on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jalla on Yawm Al-Qiyamah will give them such serenity, such peace, such tranquility, such safety from those types of anxieties and griefs and worries, that even in things like the rewards of Allah Azza wa Jal, you don't have to worry that you weren't the first one and it's going to run out, or there won't be another opportunity, or only they got it and we didn't get it, whatever it may be, like you have in the dunya, because things are limited and finite and restricted. But on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, Allah's treasures for the believers will be abundant and they will be never ending. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet is giving this example not to compare, obviously, the sun and the moon to Allah Azza wa Jal, but to compare the manner in which the believers will see their Lord with the way that you can clearly see the sun and the moon in the dunya. So when he asked these two questions, to the companions replied, no, it's easy to do so, Messenger of Allah. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then by the one in whose hand is my soul, لَا تُضَارُونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ رَبِّكُمْ إِلَّا كَمَا تُضَارُونَ فِي رُؤْيَةِ أَحَدِهِمَا, you will not struggle to be able to see your Lord, just as you don't struggle in seeing either one of these two, meaning the sun and the moon. And then he went on, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that Allah Azza wa Jalla will look towards one of his servants and he will say, a full. And full is a shortened version of the word fulan. Fulan means so and so, a full. Alam ukrimk, did I not honor you? Did I not give you age, meaning allow you to reach maturity? Did I not marry you, meaning find you, allow you to find a spouse? Did I not allow you to find modes of transportation like the horse and the camel? Did I not allow you to reach places of power and authority? And for each one of this, that person will say, Bala, Bala, yes, O my Lord, yes, O my Lord. And then he will say, أَفَظَنَنْتَ أَنَّكَ مُلَاقِي, did you ever think that you will meet me? So that person will say, no, And obviously now we're not speaking about the believers, we're speaking about the disbelievers or one of them. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will then say, فَإِنِّي أَنْسَاكَ كَمَا نَسِيتَنِي. So I will forget you on this day just as you forgot about me in the dunya. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to another one of his slaves, a fool or so-and-so, did I not honor you? Did I not allow you to reach maturity? Did I not allow you to find a spouse? Did I not give you transportation, camels and horses? Did I not allow you to reach power and authority and influence? And he will say, yes, my Lord. And he will say, did you not ever think that you would meet me? And he too will say, no, O Allah, I never thought of this day that this day would ever come. And this is why Ibn Kathir and others mentioned this hadith, because it speaks about these verses about these people denying or never believing that a Yawm al-Qiyamah or a day of resurrection would ever arrive. So he will say, no, O Allah, I never thought that I would meet you. فَيَقُولُ فَإِنِّي أَنْسَاكَ كَمَا نَسِيتَنِي. So he will say to this person also that I will forget you on this day just as you have forgotten me. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot about Allah, so Allah forgot about them. And this is from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla that is only used and affirmed for Allah Azza wa Jalla when it is done in opposite to something else. We don't say that Allah is forgetful. It's not from the names and attributes of Allah. But it is done and used in this context, in response, in opposition to something. They forgot Allah, so Allah forgot about them. Meaning, they had no need for Allah, His worship, His tawheed. Allah has less than any need of them. And so just as they can pretend to be ignorant of Allah, Allah doesn't need them. Allah forgets about them also. And then he will say to a third, ثُمَّ يَلْقَ الثَّالِثِ. Then a third will come. And he will say to him, like he said to the previous two, meaning the same question, did not honor you, did not give you, did not bestow upon you, and so on. And therefore, did you ever think that you will meet me? And this person will say, يَا رَبِّي آمَنْتُ بِكَ وَبِكِتَابِكَ وَبِرُسُلِكَ. Oh my Lord, I believed in you, and in your scriptures, and in your messengers. And then look at what he says, وَصَلَّيْتُ وَصُمْتُ وَتَصَدَّقْتُ. And I prayed, and I fasted, and I gave charity. وَيُثْنِي بِخَيْرٍ مَسْتَطَاعَ. And then he will continue to praise his Lord as much as he can. So then Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to this person, هَا هُنَا إِذَنْ. This is then your place. And then it will be said, now we will send upon you one who will witness or be a witness over you. So this person will think to themselves, who is going to be a witness over me for all of these groups of people, right? Whether it's the first two or the third one, who will be this witness over me? So then Allah Azza wa Jalla will command that this person's mouth is sealed, and their leg and their bones and their body parts will be commanded speak. And so they will speak and they will testify against that person. And that is the one then that Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish, meaning the one that their body parts testify against them. And this hadith, as we said, is in Sahih Muslim. So this verse therefore establishes this point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about this issue. And just to finish off on this point of the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the scholars of the past used to say that it is a sign of hope. That it is a sign of hope. Just as Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying in this verse that the disbelievers will be screened off from, partitioned from the sight of their Lord, or from seeing their Lord. And that's a sign therefore that they will have no hope, that all hope will be removed from them, that they will not have anything that they can look forward to, any semblance of hope that will remain. Then likewise for the believers, it is from the greatest signs of hope that on Yawm al-Qiyamah they will wish to see their Lord. They will wish to see their Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua, and he used to say, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I have give me, or he used to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I have longing to meet you and longing to see you, your face, oh Allah. So this is from the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I have longing to meet you, oh Allah, longing to see your face. Because it is a sign of hope that the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah will see Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the other hadith, that the believers, once they see their Lord in Jannah, that will pale or make every other reward of Jannah pale into insignificance. They will not have been given a reward of Allah greater to them than that which Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them when He allows them to see Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see His face subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla will honor them in that way. And that will make them forget about every other reward that they will have in Jannah, with all of its amazing rewards and blessings and what have you. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will honor the people of Jannah on that day in this way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 16, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. In the translation of Professor Abdul Harim, they will burn in hell. And Mustafa Khattab, moreover, they will surely burn in hell. Sunnah International, then indeed they will burn in hell fire. Mufti Taqi, then they will have to enter the hell. And Muhsin Khan, then verily they will indeed enter the burning flame of hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that after they will be, that from the punishments that these people will be given on Yawm al-Qiyamah is that then they will be entered into the fire. They will be veiled from their Lord, and then they will be entered into the fire. Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that Allah Azza wa Jal uses the word thumma, then, right? Thumma. And usually in the Arabic language, the word thumma means at-tarakhi. It means something which then follows on from something else, something which comes subsequent to something else, or something which comes after something else. And therefore he says that it seems to be that Allah Azza wa Jalla will first screen himself from them. And that's what Hassan al-Basri said, as we mentioned in some narrations, that they will first see him, then they will be screened from him. This is the disbelievers. And then they will be thrown into the fire. And he says, وَهُوَ ارْتِقَاءٌ فِي الْوَعِيدِ. And so this is getting progressively worse and worse. Progressively worse and worse. And that is that they're obviously going into more and more worse, in the sense that they will get a worse type of pain. Right? So in terms of hope, now seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla is the worst of that, because it takes away from them any semblance of hope. But in terms of the physical pain, then obviously the fire is something which is physically more painful. And that's why he says that Allah Azza wa Jalla will throw them into the fire. And that is the worst form of punishment, physical punishment that they will have. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Salul Jaheem. Sal, the word Sal, means to be touched. They will burn. They will be touched by the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore will leave them therein forever. And this is similar to what Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala and others said. Imam al-Tabari said that Allah Azza wa Jal says that after them being prevented from seeing him, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَوَارِدُ الْجَحِيمِ فَمُشَوَّيُونَ بِهَا. They will be then entered into the fire, and there they will be roasted and burned therein. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala said that after Allah Azza wa Jal has placed upon them that great loss of not being able to see the Lord that is Ar-Rahman, the most forgiving, most merciful, the most passionate, the most gracious rather, and the most beneficent, the most compassionate subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. On that day Allah Azza wa Jal will be Ar-Rahman for everyone except the disbelievers. And that shows the gravity of, or the evil of, that which they did in terms of shirk. That Allah Azza wa Jal, who is willing to accept the tawbah, for example, from that man who killed 99 men and then 100 in cold blood, made it one more and made it 100 in cold blood, and then he made istighfar, Allah is willing to forgive them because he's a Rahman. And likewise, that man who didn't do any, or hardly did any good, and then asked his children to cremate him at the time of his death, and then to scatter his ashes into the wind, some in land and some on sea. And then Allah, when he gathers him together, he will say, oh Allah, I did it out of fear of you. And Allah will forgive him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person will have the 99 scrolls of evil deeds, each one when unfurled, will be as far as the horizon, as far as the eye can see. And the only thing that person will have with sincerity is the statement of La ilaha illallah. But when the two things will be weighed, the card upon which it will say La ilaha illallah will be heavier in the scales of Allah than those 99 scrolls of evil deeds. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive them. And countless other hadith that speak about Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's rahmah on that day, for a person to be excluded from that in all of its forms. Because even for those Muslims, as we said, that will enter into the fire because of the sins that they committed and because of the evil that they did, and usually it is because of major sins or the accumulation of so many minor sins that they became major. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. if you were to refrain from the major sins, Allah says, we would forgive you for the remainder of your minor sins and we would enter you into the blessed abode. So when it comes to minor sins, Allah forgives them. If a person stays away from the major sins, and what that means is to stay away from obviously the most serious of sins, and from those most serious of sins is neglecting that which Allah has already obligated. And so what Allah has obligated, such as the salah and sadaqah and being good to your parents and so on, to neglect that also is a major sin because those things are wajib. So if a person can refrain from that whole category of falling into major sins, either because they committed the sin or because they abandoned an obligation, then Allah Azza wa Jalla says that we will forgive them for the remainder of their minor sins. Unless obviously those minor sins become so many and so great that they fall into that realm of major sin for one reason or another. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that He will forgive these people. So therefore these people, that even if they are the believers that enter into the fire because of those major sins or because of some evil that they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually forgive them. Even for them there is rahmah. Even for them Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy will eventually reach them. And even in the fire, as we described or mentioned today, the punishment isn't as severe. It's not as grievous. It's not as tormenting as the punishment of the disbelievers in the fire. And so therefore the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla touches all of His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for that one group. And that shows to you the gravity of that sin. And that's why when Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe and they don't taint their belief with dhulm and oppression, they are the ones who will have safety, they are the ones who are guided. She said, O Messenger of Allah, which believer does commit oppression? Everyone commits oppression. Everyone oppresses themselves and oppresses others. In your lifetime, you're likely to have committed a number of grievances and oppressions against others. O Messenger of Allah, which one of us doesn't do that? He said, O daughter of Siddiq, that is not the meaning of oppression here. But the meaning of oppression here is like the statement of the servant Luqman, when he said, as Allah mentions, that he said to his son, Ya Bunayya, la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. O my dear son, never commit shirk with Allah, for shirk is the grievous or the most grievous of oppression. It is the worst of oppression. Shirkun inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. It is the worst of oppression because of withholding the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of that evil, because of what it is and what people said, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in at the end of Surah Maryam, when Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about those people who claim that Allah Azza wa Jalla has a child or has a son or has daughters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is the worst of statements. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. It is the worst of things. So grievous is that statement, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. He says, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so grievous is this simple statement of theirs, that Allah has a child. Look how easily it rolls off the tongue to say that Allah has a son, Allah has daughters, Allah has children. Allah says, so grievous is that statement that the heavens are about to be rent asunder, meaning ripped open, and the earth is about to crack, and the mountains are about to fall from their places and crumble into dust. All because of that one statement, and da'u lirrahmani walada, because of that claim that Allah has a son, and it's not befitting that Allah should ever have a child, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, because of that shirk, and because of what they said, and because of what it means, and what it necessitates, and because of the rejection of the many favors of Allah, not least of creation and of rizq, and therefore His rights to be worshipped, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they foment all of this, Allah Azza wa Jal, only for these people, he won't have rahmah for them. And so Ibn Kathir rahmahullah ta'ala says that after having already suffered this grievous punishment of not being able to see Ar-Rahman, then Allah Azza wa Jal now says that they will be sarul jahim, that they will be burned in the fire. And Al-Qurtubi rahmahullah ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَارُ الْجَحِيمِ. They will burn in the fire, meaning that it will be their place of residence. That is where they will remain forever, never to leave. As Allah says elsewhere, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. Whenever their skins melt and are removed, we will replace them with more. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكُلَّمَا خَبَتْ زِدْنَاهُمْ سَعِيرًا. And every time the fire seems to diminish, we will only increase it in flames. And therefore, that is the meaning of this verse. The teacher of our teachers, Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, Rahimullah ta'ala, and for those of you that have followed us over the last number of Ramadans, our tafsir of al-Sa'di, which alhamdulillah we completed in the last Ramadan, he says that the punishment, and this is what I took when I said earlier that the punishment of not being able to see Allah Azza wa Jalla is worse even than the punishment of the fire. This is what Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala says, that the punishment of the hijab, of the veiling from Allah Azza wa Jal, which therefore implies and means and necessitates that Allah is angry with them, that they have Allah's curse and His anger, هو أعظم عليهم من عذاب النار. He says it is worse upon them than the punishment of the fire itself. And he says, and therefore we can understand inversely from this verse that the believers seeing their Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah and in Jannah, they will have in that seeing of their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the greatest, أَعْظَمُ مِنْ سَائِرِ اللَّذَّاتِ. It is the greatest of all of the blessings that they will have, or all of the favors that Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to them, and that is what they will be, that is what they will enjoy, and that is what will bring to them happiness and pleasure on Yawmul Qiyamah, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in a number of verses in the Quran, and as is mutawatir in its report or narration from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I think with that, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude today's lesson. If there's any questions, I will take them, or otherwise we will stop here. Do all of the people of Jannah get to see their Lord, or is it some at the highest levels of Jannah? It seems that Allah knows best that it is something for all of the people of Jannah. And Allah knows best. Okay, I think that question answered itself. On the topic of hope, just before the point of death, shaitan will come to us and say, I will save you, just make sujood to me and I will save you. If a person gives up hope, this will be a challenging time. How do we save ourselves from this test? I don't know necessarily if that's what shaitan comes and says, but shaitan does try to continue to misguide a person up until their death. And that's reported from a number of the scholars of the Salaf, from amongst the most famous perhaps is Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. So that can happen, and shaitan continues to come to a person, and that's why it's recommended that, you know, a person who's on their deathbed, you remind them to say La ilaha illallah. It was a position of a number of the scholars of the Salaf that you should read Quran around them, or that they should be asked to read Quran if they can, and make dhikr if they can. And some of the scholars used to say read Surah Yasin and other things around that time, or because it is a reminder, and there are in those verses are lessons of Tawheed and lessons that are similar to that. So that's the reason why. No doubt guidance and steadfastness comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that's why a person works for their health, or during their health, for those moments of sickness. Because if a person throughout their life was a person of iman, and a person of salah, and a person of righteousness, and a person of ibadah, and a person of seeking knowledge, and all of the good deeds that they could do, then we have hope in our Lord, and we have good thoughts of our Lord, that Allah Azza wa Jalla wouldn't let that good go to waste at the time when we would most need it. And that if someone was going to turn away, they would have turned away before that time, as opposed to that particular moment when the angel of death is coming to take their soul, and Allah knows best. And so that's why we continue to do what we do, because none of us have that guarantee, that assurance, that we will die in that state of iman. And so you work and you work and you don't take it for granted. And the fact that you don't take it for granted is a sign in itself of iman, inshallah. Because only those who lack iman think that they have it guaranteed. And those who are strong in their iman fear for their iman, because they know how precious it is, how valuable it is to them. And so they continue to work in that way, to make dua, to ask Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, as we know from the du'as that he would make sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he would ask for husnul khatima. And husnul khatima means that Allah Azza wa Jal allows you to have an ending which is good, that you die, as some of the scholars said, in some act of worship or some act of goodness, or after an act of goodness. So it comes at a time after you read some Quran, or after you perhaps, you know, said the shahada, or after you, for example, visited someone that was sick, you did some good, or you were in the process of doing some good, or you were intending to do some good, and that is when death comes to you. That is husnul khatima, rather than death coming to you in a state of sin and disobedience and neglect and heedlessness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah Azza wa Jal keep us and our family strong and safe in Iman, steadfast upon it. And may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all a good ending, one that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you all next week. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.